All right, we're back. We're at the gaming segment of Channel 9 Live. You just met the Monogame folks. Now we have the Unity people. Let's talk about, first of all, who are you? Introduce yourself.
I'm Mark Morrison from Unity Technologies, based in San Francisco. I'm in the business development unit, and I work on licensing and business.
Awesome.
Yeah, my name is Randy Spong, and I'm a field engineer in San Francisco with Mark, and I work with our customers on the side of supporting them in their development efforts.
Excellent. So right off the bat, what is Unity?
Well, Unity is probably one of the most popular game engines in the marketplace. That aside, it's a lot of things. It was born out of support for cross-platform capabilities, development in PC and Mac, and then extending out. Currently, we support 8 platforms, and we're super excited to add more platforms with Windows 8.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So now this is a game engine, which means it's going to basically present a higher level API, and in your case, also a scripting language, for developers to write their games. And then in the back end, you're going to say, I'm going to rain OpenGL here, I'm going to rain DirectX there. So can you talk a little bit about the model?
Yeah, so you know, the main model for Unity is that we do the hard work so you don't have to.
Okay.
So you know, we're going there on each of these platforms, you know, the ARM-based devices, and the x86-based devices, and we're optimizing those, and we're getting our C++ runtime all set up so that our customers, our users, can then just go in and focus on their gameplay and their content. So you know, we have our cross-platform APIs that work on the mobile and the desktop devices, mm-hmm. and you can have a lot of shared code there. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really fast to be able to create rich, interactive 3D content.
Yeah, the trick with Unity is it's a great tool to teach yourself how to create interactive content, and we're focusing on games today. Mm-hmm. We fall outside of games. One of our biggest growing business sectors is education.
Excellent.
Not only at the college level, but at the high school and middle school level. Mm-hmm. So think all-in development tool mm-hmm. to create apps and games in a PC or Mac ecosystem with one person, 100 people, and then deploying out. And it's an all-in solution. That being said, one of our main values is our community. We have a large community. They build plugins and extensions to what we already provide. So there's a robust community of over 1.2 million users, and they're also helping us make better products.
Excellent. So now you're the business guy, the marketing business guy, the development manager guy, or business manager guy. When is this coming out? When is it available for WinRT? They want to know right away. Today?
So currently, we accept Unity developers into an early access program.
Okay.
So it is available today for Unity developers. We'll be going wider with new Unity developers very soon. So think between now and holiday season.
Excellent. So good question, dangling neuron. Jordan now wants to know, when will the Unity Win 8 phone exporter be available?
Sure. So, you know, phone is a little bit behind Windows 8 in terms of the calendar schedule. We don't have any dates quite yet, but it's currently in early alpha. And we're probably going to start adding people to the group from our Unity community once it goes beta.
Yeah, the message for everybody today and listening after today is we're deep in development with support Unity support for Windows 8.
Okay.
So we're encouraging Unity developers to contact us, get into the early access program, and holiday season is when we actually think we'll go wide open beta. And the Windows phone component is very near where we're at with desktop and RT. So everybody out there, please contact us. Even if you're not a Unity user, we'll get you into Unity and then to the Windows 8 early access.
So let's step back a little bit. So one of the great things about the sort of rather large abstraction machine that you guys have created, as a game developer, in this case, I can write in Unity script or whatever your scripting language is, or C#.
And
or
we also
what else?
Support Boo, which is a Python-inspired language.
Wow, so yeah. Boo, huh?
Yes, so that was actually written by the same gentleman, Rodrigo, who wrote Unity script.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice, man. And so there are games today that are running on iOS and Linux that were created with Unity, yes?
Currently, we support 8 platforms with PC, Mac, browser, iOS, Android, Wii, 360, PS3. We are extending out to Windows 8 now. So mm-hmm. essentially think developing in the Mac and the PC world and then going out to the new platforms. 4.0, which is releasing very soon, commercially released yesterday as an open beta.
Nice.
So everybody can go and download that and experience significant updates in the software, animation mm-hmm. systems and other updates to the mobile optimizations and performances. Mm-hmm. So the way to think about it is 4.0 will support Windows 8 and Linux output. amongst other emerging platforms that come up.
Great. So Windows 8, of course, we're DirectX. That's the game we play, and it's a wonderful technology. So let's talk a little bit about you porting Unity over to Windows 8. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, you know, we did a couple of really interesting things with our Windows 8 port. You know, so we didn't have a DirectX 11 renderer up until very recently, and we actually built that out along with a big demo we did called the Butterfly Effect, and at the same time we're using that for our Windows 8 development as well. So that was quite a big project. That was definitely a many-month project for us to add compute shader support and integrate that into our custom shader pipeline. And we also had to actually switch the core VM for the engine from Mono to .NET, specifically for Windows 8 and Windows RT and Windows Phone 8.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that was definitely a big undertaking.
I bet.
It's paying off pretty well for this platform.
It was actually a wonderful experience to grow our relationship with Microsoft to that point.
And great. And of course, you guys are working closely with Mr. Jaime Rodriguez. I know you're out there, Jaime. Jaime is a great dude. I work with him in DPE, so I know you know him. So let's continue on with the great questions from the people that matter, and that's you out in the audience. And we got a lot from the same person, so clearly he's curious. Can we write WinRT components in C++ and use them in Unity via C# script?
Yes. So you have to use a C# bridge for C++ WinRT components, but we do support that.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yes. Andre Abrantes wants to know, can we use Unity 3D to make Xbox games?
Absolutely. Okay. And it's actually a very robust build. Currently, we give access to that under Microsoft approval of Xbox developers and can contact us at our website as well as us directly, but yeah, we support Xbox and there have been some releases. In fact, there was a release this week.
Really?
Can we talk about it?
Of course.
PID. It's a Swedish developer.
A wonderful customer of ours, Might and Delight.
Who's been working hard on a really artsy, very cool looking game, and the gameplay feels really nice.
Does it? Nice and fast and fluid?
Yeah. It released this week. It's PID, PID.
Okay.
So encourage everybody out there, if they want to experience a Unity game in Xbox, that's a great one.
Great, and of course that's DirectX as well, which at the end of the day, it's DirectX that's doing all of the nice computing and shading and rendering and movements and frame rates and stuff like that. It's a wonderful technology, as is OpenGL. So we got another question. What are best resources to learn this Unity 3D for beginners?
Yeah, we've got a lot of great learning resources. So we actually have one of our employees, who's our kind of education manager for Unity, is actually a book author, and he's written several of his own books on Unity. Mm-hmm. So we have a number of those in the marketplace. You can check those out, and there's at least 25 books on Unity at this point.
Nice.
I encourage people to always take advantage of our free resources, because Unity was built from the ground up to be available to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That's how we've grown. So we offer online training that can be scheduled. The public can come to our website, take the online training course. It's remote, so anybody in the world can tap in, take a class. It's generally 3 hours, and it's soup to nuts 101. So you can go from 0 to 60 an hour in 3 hours. And then after that, there's a number of external resources that supply tutorials online. Some are free, some are subscription-based.
Cool.
And then, of course, we come to the ground and meet user groups and do the things that Jaime's doing as well for Unity, evangelize.
Great. So if you want to write a game and you're not necessarily an expert game developer, you can do it today for Windows 8, get it into our store, use Unity, makes your life easy. Let me ask you a question, though. Let's step back just a little bit. Let's say I want to do sort of a, I want to use Unity for the bulk of my application, you know, to help me with the designing and running some of the things, but then I'm going to want to get down there and sort of messing around at the instruction level. So I want to actually write C++.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Can you talk to me about that? Those worlds working together?
Sure. It depends on the platform, but for all the platforms that are capable of running native unmanaged code, we do support plugins.
Okay.
So you can go ahead and write a C++ component and bridge that through C# for Windows 8 specifically.
Oh, totally easy.
Yep.
That's easy. Okay.
It's actually not really that bad of a process at all.
Cool.
You know, so when you're building for Windows 8 with Unity, you actually hit the build button and we create a Visual Studio project. Mm. And that can be a D3D canvas-based project or it can be a XAML-based project, either C++ or C#. And that way you can actually integrate your own plugin code into that Visual Studio project, including having, XAML content overlaying that 3D window.
Great.
And just get it right out there.
Totally. And in the case of, in the C++ case specifically, there's going to be libraries I would want to use to kind of bring into my game world. That why do I have to keep inventing the same thing over and over again? There's a great library I can pull in, a standard C++. It'll work.
Yeah, so you know, of course, we're still in development with the Windows 8 support.
Yeah.
So our asset store does not have anything yet. Mm-hmm. But once we launch that publicly, you know, our community is going to be creating all sorts of awesome tools specifically for Windows 8 and for, you know, all of our supported platforms, such as, you know, Windows 7 as well.
Excellent. So we have another question from Idzaz. Can we make UI in XAML and gameplay in Unity as we can for DirectX?
Yeah, for Windows 8, Windows RT, and Windows Phone 8, you'll be able to do that.
Cool. So Jeremy wants to know, how well is touch supported for Unity on Windows 8?
It's actually really great. So, you know, we already have our cross-platform, you know, touch-based input API. And for all of the touch-based Windows devices that are coming out here, we have the exact same API, and so it just works. And so we already, you know, you have your devices, which, you know, have your minimum of 5 touch points, and we just automatically support that. So you can just get those touch points, you can add your gesture recognition logic, and you can just make it work with just some really quick scripting.
Excellent, man. So Karl-Heinz Reng wants to know, using the free version, is it possible to build a free game, or are there any license restrictions?
It is absolutely possible. You know, 90% of our users are using the free version of Unity. It's where our growth has come from, is being able, people being able to just pick it up, build games with it, and just ship them.
Great.
So for you know, for Windows standalone, and we also have our web player, which runs in the browsers, you can develop your game completely for free and ship it out there. You know, the pro version of Unity, we add other platforms, of course, but also, you know, much like more advanced rendering effects and C++-based plugins are supported in the pro version. But we have a number of really excellent titles that have been shipped using free.
Yeah, that was a great question, and we just point people back to our EULA. It divides what people can do in the free version versus the pro version, and it's on our website.
Okay, great. So, Santu S. wants to know, .NET 4.5, when will it be available in Unity?
Yeah, so the Windows 8, Windows RT, Windows Phone 8 version of Unity is based on .NET 4.5.
Yeah, so the answer to your question is there is no question, brother. Hector wants to know, can you use Unity 3D to build 2D games for Windows 8?
You certainly can. You know, there are a number of really excellent 2D games out there on the marketplace already. You know, we don't necessarily have some of the tools that make it super quick just to lay it out and get your sprite sheets. And this is where our community comes in. You know, you go to the asset store and you start looking at these various packages for 2D. And there are just, you know, pre-made toolkits out there that you just buy it or even download it for free, and it imports into the editor, and all of a sudden now you have your 2D layout tools. So you can automatically, you know, cut your sprite sheets up into your animations. You can lay everything out. You can add 2D physics as well.
Great.
And just make it work.
Yeah, some of the early approved apps and games will be 2D in Unity, and they'll be out soon.
Great. So Dangling Neuron wants to know, and this is a great question, because we talked about, you know, extensions and the ability to go grab some code and sort of, you can compose these applications with other people's code in the form of plugins. Where can I find these extensions? Where can a developer go and say, yeah, I need an extension that does this transition or this transformation. This will work well in my blow-up game.
Yeah, so the Unity Asset Store is built right into the editor. So you just, you know, go to the window menu and you select Asset Store, you log in, and there are tens of thousands of packages on there.
Awesome.
We have 3D art, textures, particle systems, models, editor extensions.
Wow.
Is actually like really blown up. We didn't even think that editor extensions was going to be, you know, what it became on the asset store. Mm-hmm. It really is the primary driver of this community now.
And what's interesting is that it connects not only the ability to efficiently get your project out with compelling assets that you wouldn't otherwise have the time to make, but it also offers a business for our developers to sell those extensions and those plugins and those 3D models back into the store. So as soon as Windows 8 commercializes on the Unity side, we could expect to see a flood of specific.
What do you mean, Windows 8 commercializes on the Unity? Those are marketing terms.
Yeah,
we're developers here.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, okay.
So explain.
When we launch our commercial product that supports Windows 8 and Windows Mobile and RT.
So we follow, you know, the very standard alpha, beta, ship cycle. And Windows 8 is currently in beta, and we typically provide it to a lot of folks there. But, of course, we go wide with ship.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Let me ask a question. This is interesting. So if you have 10,000 extensions, I would imagine some of them are going to be written in script. Some of them are going to be written in C#.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are going to be written in C, C++. when you move over to different platforms, so for example, WinRT, Windows RT, the ARM thing sitting here, which does run WinRT, but this is ARM. Now, in this case, what if one of these extensions involves or incorporates somebody's custom threading model, right? Or something that you can't do in WinRT. So that's my question. So you have all these extensions that exist. They haven't been compiled for the platforms they're going to end up on yet. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, to preface, you know, the first thing that's important to note is that the vast majority of extensions on the Asset Store are written in script code.
Okay.
And that means they run on all platforms. Mm. You know, for folks who are writing, like, you know, really to the metal, really high performance C++ based code, mm-hmm. yeah, those folks are going to have to, you know, go ahead and build their WinRT components mm-hmm. and add those to their Asset Store packages.
Cool.
You know, one of the cool things about the way we do our software development is that a lot of these Asset Store developers are already in the beta program. Mm. You know, so a lot of these guys who are writing extensions, a lot of these guys and gals who are writing extensions, you know, are already getting prepared for Windows RT, Windows 8, and Windows Phone 8 once we start, you know, getting them in the beta group for that too.
Great. And so let's go. Let's see. Dangling Neuron is back. You're certainly dangling, Neuron. That's good, man. So is there a list of the best? And I've already asked this question. Jordan. Jodon, actually. Do you have a planned Windows 8 extension for your social API? Great, some Unity developers are coming. Thank you. Come on in, ask some Unity questions.
Yep. So that's a feature we have not actually gotten to implementing yet.
Okay.
Right now we're focusing on implementing the core runtime, getting everything ported to .NET, and you know, getting up and running on WinRT and getting performance awesome. And the next step is, you know, all the platform feature integrations. You know, so Xbox Live, you know, is going to be one of those things that is, you know, definitely easily integrable.
Beautiful.
And that's part of the magic of, yes. of Unity is it's ubiquitous so that it can allow for that scalability, both for our support, but the outside support. So we expect to see you all to help us with that as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right? I mean, it's a community thing. So will Unity ever have a unified model for mobile feature access, aka sensors, so I don't have to write special code for the platform I'm targeting, which
sure.
in some sense you're targeting.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely tricky as developers, you know, for using any engine or internal code know to support the, you know, the myriad types of devices out there. And, you know, we definitely try very hard to create unified APIs that run on every platform the same. Sometimes it's not possible. Mm. In the cases of, you know, things like if you have the barometric pressure readers? No? Okay.
USB barometric pressure reader?
No, it can be built into mobile devices.
I'm a marketer.
There's a couple tablets out there that actually can, you know, tell you what the air pressure is outside your
awesome.
Tablet.
Awesome.
This is something we're probably not going to have a cross-platform API for.
but, you know, the question answers a product that some of you all out there may be able to help make and sell. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's always opportunities out there to help us with the product.
But, I mean, it brings up an excellent general purpose question. I mean, the fact of the matter is, an operating system is one part of the equation. The other part happens to be the hardware that the operating system is running on. You're not necessarily going to be running on the same hardware. You're going to have different sensors. You might have these barometric things built in. You might have different drivers we're going to expect different data types or
yep.
different packages of information to handle things correctly. And they're not all the same hardware. So that's going to be a very challenging problem, and that's where hardware abstraction layers come in. You could do some virtualization maybe, but that might slow down performance. You can figure out the rocket science. I mean, there is a story for virtualization just to kind of throw that randomness into the equation.
Yeah.
So you want to comment on that since you're the one who actually knows what he's talking about here?
Yeah, you know, so the basic idea is, you know, for things like touchscreen input, you know, we have a unified API. For
okay.
accelerometer, we have a unified API. For gyroscope, we're getting a unified API.
Great.
So if, you know, for the vast majority of these input and usage memes that exist in mobile devices, you know, we are definitely iterating towards, 100% unified APIs.
Cool.
You know, of course, sometimes, you know, different kinds of tablets and OSs, you know, might treat landscape left and right differently. And so then we have to decide, are we going to go ahead and manually fix that up for you and, you know, flip the input on a device that doesn't match, you know, what we think is the default?
Mm-hmm.
And so these are, you know, occasional trade-offs we have to make.
Absolutely.
If that doesn't work for the developer, then they can go with plugins.
I mean, in some sense, I mean, when you create this pillow of computation and this engine, as you call it, and then I get to be up and do my things and just focus on what matters to me, the game, the experience, and you're going to do a lot of rocket science for me. That's what you promise as a game engine.
Yep.
You know, there's going to come a point where you don't want to become an operating system yourself. So let's move along with this great name of this person here called Cat with Three Hats. And Cat with Three Hats wants to know, what do you offer inside of Unity to support collaborative game development?
Sure. You know, this is something that is really, really growing fast for Unity. You know, we've got this really massive pickup of users that are adopting it. You know, like 75% of our users have joined us in the past year. And these folks are, you know, getting a lot more experience. They're shipping multiple titles, and they're getting a lot better at, you know, rapid large team game development. Mm. Their demands, you know, for collaborative editing are growing very quickly.
So we've got a product for the cat with three hats, or the cats who wear hats, and that is Team License. And Team License allows for collaborative version sharing, you know, and also a caching system.
Nice.
So actually, the you know, a product that we offer for that specifically is called the Unity Team License.
Nice.
And we're actually in the middle of developing, it's currently in beta, but we actually have a native, you know, revision control integration in the editor with GUI.
Great.
So that's going to be really cool when that comes out, because people will be able to, you know, just do all of their RCS operations right in there, and they can extend that as well with scripting in order to, you know, automate it so that content designers, artists, people who don't want to be as technical can use it very easily as well. And then another thing we're working on that's really cool is this concept called nested prefabs. So you'll have the ability to take your game content and split it up into many files on disk any way you want. So, you know, you want your lighting in a separate layer so that, you know, the lighting, the artist can go in there and just tweak all of that while the level designers are laying out content. It's not going to be a problem.
Nice.
So when that ships, all of a sudden, you know, you won't be having these conflicts when people are trying to edit the same scenes.
Nice.
And so for collaborative editing, that is going to be a really, really big upshift or upswing.
So, I mean, you're making it more modular in some sense? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, we're making it modular based upon, you know, your production pipeline.
Great.
Because you decide how those get broken out into separate files just by, you know, putting things in these prefab trees.
Nice.
So it's right there in the editor. It's you know, it sounds complicated, but it's really just a tree. It's just a tree view right in the editor.
Great.
Just drag things around.
Perfect. People like to drag things around.
Absolutely.
So Cot Ford wants to know, can you tell me about the physics engine inside of your Unity engine?
Yeah. So we use NVIDIA PhysX on all of our supported platforms.
Okay.
And we just integrate that directly in. We of course wrap it in scripting APIs. But we're using that for, you know, pretty much everything we do that's physics related. Ray casting, object picking, all these things are based upon PhysX.
Great. And you mentioned it's by NVIDIA.
Yes.
But of course targets any GPU.
That is correct.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be a portable
Otherwise,
engine.
We'd have lack of physics in certain platforms.
You don't need physics, the game. All right, so Fernando wants to know, guys, in your experience, which points are more important in developing successful games? So what's the most important sort of thing to develop successful games?
Well, let me talk business real quick and turn it over to the guy that can give you developers a little bit more meaning here. Mm. Ideas are cheap, execution is expensive. So obviously planning and executing properly is key, especially in such a short cycle for a mobile development that could be 3 to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to lose some time in a two-year production. So I would say on the business side, from what I see our users doing, planning and execution is critical.
Interesting. Of course.
You know, I look at it from a you know, my own lens here, which is that you know, the idea is the keystone.
Mm.
And if it's not there, then execution isn't going to help a whole lot.
So, you know, you can execute on a bad idea.
You can certainly execute incredibly well on a bad idea. I think we've seen a number of those over the years.
Well, you know, we could get into the discussions about, you know, how products are repurposed or cloned and are still successful over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I refer back to the idea statement. You know, for a lot of developers out there, a key is to do a bit of research. So a little bit of due diligence on the competitive landscape. What's out there. Mm. So if you have a great idea, the first thing I ever do with my great ideas, I go online and I search for it. And if it exists, then maybe I move on to a derivative of that idea.
It's understandable.
Once you get the idea, I think, you know, focus on the fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point, is it to be an enjoyable experience.
Absolutely. I mean, games are one of those things, and the gaming industry in general is incredibly competitive. Like, you know, teams work in bunkers protected by secret, you know, military forces. But in some sense, I mean, it is true. The essence is the idea. But then there's the experience. So we have an 82-inch television behind us. Of course, it's not really a television, it's a display. Man, there's a lot of interesting things you could do for that device that you couldn't do for this device with actually the same code plus a little more. So that's an interesting model to like fully take advantage of the platform you support. So is it going to be 80%?
Right.
So that you support Luf, but there's 20% that you're not doing, but that's a good question for you guys.
It brings up the back to the planning and execution. What is your frontline release? Where are you going to release that? Will it be in big screen? Then produce it in big screen. Will it be touch screen? Then start there. So it's a lot of it is back to the technical game design, game mechanics, how you set it up. Mm-hmm. But indeed, it's very important to plan the way that you will produce and then release the game, the app, the utility.
You know, so we're a massively multi-platform engine. You know, we run on phones, we run on tablets, we run on desktops. We run in cars nowadays. Mm. And you know, a lot of people come to us and they say, well, you know, since you make multi-platform so easy, since you make multi-device so easy, should I just go wide and ship on everything I possibly can? Mm-hmm. And that's potentially a mistake. You know, because as you're saying, these different devices and these different form factors, mm-hmm. they have you know, not only awesome features but also interesting challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to pick intelligently, you know, which platforms you're going to have the best experience on.
Absolutely.
You know, you can make a tablet-based game that does not work well on phones. Maybe you should just stick with tablets and not give people that mm-hmm. poor, you know, small screen experience.
Well, I mean, you've hit on like a very important concept, a general purpose concept, and that is to do exactly what you just said. Like, what is it about my game where the tablet makes the most sense? Is it just the size?
Well, that's certainly one aspect.
Sure.
You know, if you have a really complicated graphical user interface, you can't necessarily shrink it down to a certain point because, you know, people, you know, thumbs only get so small.
Yes.
So, you know, that's one of those aspects. But one of the other ones is, you know, if you're really trying to just make a rich visual experience, you know, maybe you want to have, you know, a little more depth, a little more complexity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you actually just want it to be something where, you know, you have a photo booth app, right? And, well, a phone doesn't really make for a very good photo booth. You can't really see that away, you know, when you're 10 feet away from it.
Cool. All right, so we're going to continue on with intelligent questions now from the audience. Christoph, your question actually was already answered. You do support non-game apps.
Absolutely, and growing.
Great. Wise wants to know, why have you not included a native Kismet programming interface for Unity yet, man?
You know, there's a couple of reasons for that.
Okay.
You know, one of the main reasons is it's a lot of work. unfortunately, I can't get into too much detail on our internal R&D, but what I can say is that our community has some really, really excellent visual programming solutions that are already available.
Nice.
There's a couple of packages in the Asset Store that are being used by both indies and AAA productions.
What are some of those?
Well, for example, you have UScript.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Visio Universe. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else is out there. Hutong Games has Playmaker.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yep, these are all very, very popular solutions. And they just, you know, you go to the Asset Store, you click buy, and it just starts running.
Nice.
You know, a theme of what we do is we try to support kind of critical mass, where it reaches critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
Where it doesn't, we're very interested. We could be working behind the wall on it, maybe not. But that is a purpose for the Asset Store, and that's where you can get those extensions.
Yep. Excellent.
Because it's going to take us a certain amount of time to make something that works, you know, for 95% of our community. You know, we definitely, you know, we need to consider broad coverage and usability.
Mm.
But the Asset Store is a great thing for developers to just throw things out there, or even, you know, do it better and faster than us occasionally. And it's just, they can just get it out there.
Great. So Josh wants to know, having developed a few small game projects in Visual Studio, I was a bit overwhelmed by the Unity editor. Is there a way to use a Unity engine just through code by including DLLs in a Visual Studio project?
The basic answer to that is no. You know, so we have a lot of logic that we do inside the editor when you build that project. In order to not only optimize it, but, you know, make it run for each platform,
mm-hmm.
and each device. And so, you know, we focus on, you know, building out an interactive tool that allows you to really quickly and easily produce that content. And you know, Windows 8 is interesting because now we are actually generating a Visual Studio project. You know, we didn't previously used to do this. You know, we would just include a Windows executable, and then we'd just take your game data and just put it in a folder with that executable.
Mm.
Now we don't do that. Now we have a lot more extensibility. But the editor is still definitely foundational to developing, you know, awesome Unity content.
Yeah, it's split for artists and engineers. So it's a really interesting question, Josh. The best thing to do is to take a deep breath, step back, and come back to it with a fresh mindset. It looks overwhelming, but again, as a non-technologist, it's easier for me to get into that than into any of the other game engines that I've ever tried to use.
Okay. So, you know, that's the relatively long answer to the question, but it's basically no for the just using DLLs. I mean, you guys do
for
provide
a project.
For what we think
Josh is looking to do, yeah, that's not going to happen at this point, but there's ways around that, and you can just go into scripting mode more.
Right on, right
and,
on.
And, of course, the other thing is learning resources. You know, so we've got some projects in the pipe that we're going to be producing some really, really excellent learning resources, both by ourselves and in collaboration with our partners.
Cool.
And so, you know, getting people up and running quickly with the editor is very much a goal for us.
Great. Now, I'd recommend for the people watching, and I know there's definitely a fair number of you, if you're a Unity developer, please take advantage of asking these guys questions, in particular about Unity on Windows 8, yeah, which is coming to a surface near you soon. We don't know when. Doesn't matter. Beta's available already for people in the program.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you can reach out to your Microsoft reps or Unity reps, and we can explain the process more in detail.
Rock and roll. So Baroni wants to know, do you plan to extend the navigation mesh system, especially obstacle avoidance?
Absolutely. You know, so in 4.0, we're adding obstacle avoidance. And in a later 4X release, we're also going to have dynamic nav mesh carving. And so you'll actually be able to, you know, place dynamic obstacles in the scene, and we'll actually fix up the nav mesh in real time.
Nice.
So this is going to make it really easy to create not only procedural, but just really dynamic and interactive content that still allows you to have awesome AI and pathing.
Okay.
So yeah, we have full-time people working just on nav mesh.
That's a hard problem.
Yes, it is.
Andrew wants to know, what kind of game hasn't been made with Unity that you'd like to see made?
That's a stumper. Yeah.
That's tough.
Andrew, good question. You know, it's probably the large scale perpetual MMOs that are now reaching the marketplace in Unity for me. And, you know, I'm compelled to I'm a Halo guy, so I'm a, you know, FPS guy. We are emerging into the AAA marketplace on console and kind of, you know, higher physics and photoreal type games. Mm-hmm. But those are out there, and, you know, we don't want to dismiss the fact that those have been made.
Yeah, you know, so I think one of the things that I see is not being exploited well enough is probably puzzlers. Mm. You know, and this can be 2D or 3D, but I think people, you know, typically are, you know, seeing these mobile devices and they're saying, I want to make something casual, something really accessible and cute and fuzzy. And I think maybe they're skipping over a little bit that more cerebral experience.
There's recently been a game that I have no doubt will reach Windows, all the Windows 8 platforms here soon, called The Room. The Room, in my opinion, it's a mobile game currently on iOS and Android potentially, but I play it on iOS. Anyway, this is the type of game that reflects, in my opinion, the puzzle, 3D puzzle that hasn't reached the marketplace. So we'll work very carefully with that developer to get them onto Windows 8 quickly, we hope.
Awesome. And I mean, that's let's step back there real quick. So if I've written a game for iOS and I've used Unity, and a lot of them have, how much work is it going to be for me to move over to Windows 8, since this is a game engine we're talking about here, and a lot of the rocket science and magic should be portable in the pillow, right?
Well, the easy answer is somewhere between none and a lot.
Okay.
So if you haven't written any plugin code, if you've done everything in scripting, and you're not using any of these platform specific APIs, then, you know, it's quite potentially going to be no work whatsoever. You know, we actually had a customer develop a console title for another console, who then was able to make it run on Xbox in one day.
Nice.
And that's just, I've never heard of anything like that.
So let me ask you a question, because this does come down to, you know, developing is an engineering. It's a form of engineering. It's a form of craftsmanship. In some sense, if you develop your solution using Unity, and I use a model view controller sort of thing, and I keep all of my platform-specific thing in one area, and so that when I want to move over, the game itself, the experience, certain things, not calling into the file system, saving state, doing the things that you have to do, oh, I'm getting suspended. When you get suspended in iOS, you're going to have to do different things than you do in Windows. You know this. So the moral of the story that I'm trying to say is, you could design up front for, look, I'm going to build a portable game. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Not just, I'm going to build a game on iOS, because there's a lot of people using it. Or I'm going to build a game for Windows. There's a lot of people using it. I'm going to build a game. How would I build a game that's easily portable and killer across platform? I'm going to think about architecture.
Yep. So, we make it incredibly easy to develop content and get it out there onto all these devices. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to still pay attention to good design and programming principles. You know, encapsulation and modularity are still key there.
Yes.
And especially if you're using, device or platform specific code. You know, you want to keep that encapsulated so that you can, really easily pull that out and plug in support for, Windows Phone.
Amen. So, for example, on Windows 8, which I know better. I'm learning iOS, actually. I mean, it's a very interesting platform. But the moral of the point I'm trying to make is in Windows 8, you have these universal things like sharing contracts. We call them contracts in an operating system. So if I'm a developer, yes, it makes a lot of sense for me to maybe share something about where I am in the game, or I want to search through the games, some history of points or history of levels, or I could build this type of thing into my game, mm-hmm. which would be purely platform specific in this case.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
If you want to go with, two layers of abstraction, you can make mm-hmm. this work really well. The trick is, if you're going to implement this yourself, you simply want to, have your own platform or device, generic API that then goes ahead and implements each of these platform implementations on it, on the back end.
Sure.
And then you can make it pluggable yourself.
Cool.
And it's like something like sharing. This is a really cool thing that is happening in Windows 8 and Windows RT, where you can just really get that contextual. Just like I want to put this out on Twitter. I want to put this out on SkyDrive. Just mm-hmm. boom, done. Mm-hmm. But these are usage tropes that tend to evolve and kind of unify over time. Mm. So what we tend to see is, you guys come out with something that's really innovative and new and fresh, mm-hmm. and it sort of turns into a standard thing. Mm-hmm. Once that becomes standardized, then we can go out there and make a totally agnostic API.
Excellent. And of course, on Windows 8, you could do things sort of like have two different games, same character, and then perhaps you could share things among those games. So you can do that on Windows 8. You can share with other apps information and functionality, actually. So let's move on to, again, the important people. Sorry for asking questions. Eric Koski, can you please discuss any build automation, unit testing, and installer packaging features that Unity might provide, which will make the development process more robust and automated?
Sure. Right now, we do have batch building support. Mm-hmm. So you can run the editor in the command line and execute just arbitrary scripts just from the command line. So that way, if you want to integrate with something like TeamCity or Jenkins or any of these, build automation and test environments, you can actually script that out, from those environments, because you can just run the editor, run it in batch mode, even run it in headless mode with no graphics, and execute a custom build script or custom set of test scripts.
Great. There's your answer, Eric. Thanks for asking. Matt wants to know, are there plans for the terrain component to support custom triangle meshes?
I don't think at this time we're planning on adding arbitrary mesh import. We do support height map importing, but we still generate the mesh ourselves internally. Mm. And there's a lot of performance and memory considerations there. That said, a lot of our customers, find that maybe the terrain system isn't quite right for how they want to do something. You can absolutely write your own. We see that all the time, especially when folks are doing things like, 2D terrains or, maybe round earth terrain systems. Mm. They can definitely, make their own systems based upon mesh and just extend all that functionality.
Excellent. Matt wants to know, or actually Matt, great question, man. James wants to know, has any of the major game studios already signed on to Unity games for Windows 8? This is, we have to put the businessman on the spot.
Yeah, what's interesting, I can actually ask the question, who isn't? seriously, to respect companies across the world and our partners, can't really call certain companies out. Some are announcing publicly they're already supporting. Mm. We are primarily in every serious game publisher, and I noticed there's a Create a Serious Game is attached to that. Mm-hmm. That's another big marketplace too, visual symbolization.
So you mean, is that what a serious game is? So a serious game is what?
Serious game, we would consider on our side to be something that is a little bit more in terms of educational or practical use, could be for training, could be something in the health and wellness industry, could be in the military.
I see.
Something that really gears towards more of a, I would say, information sharing. I don't want to use education only, because mm-hmm. that's a different deal. I don't know. What do you think, serious gaming?
I think serious gaming is absolutely a spectrum, because we have core gaming, which is, you know, pure entertainment, maybe that's how you look at it. And then we have, you know, pure education, you know, just learning new things.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, serious gaming is somewhere in the middle there. I think it depends on the game. You know, is it really just, are you having instructional videos that are just slightly more interactive? Or are you actually, like, you know, trying to accomplish goals by having, you know, a forest that's on fire and having the tools to try and put it out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, companies create serious games to teach employees certain things, training, but also could be in school for math,
sure.
Things like that.
Great. I mean, this is just a wonderful way to use a different UI model, generate UI, things that you look at and experience. It doesn't have to be a game. I'd love to see somebody do something in Unity where I could just write a real app where I'm not using XAML and I'm just using Unity to display normal, you know, interesting concepts, UI metaphor concepts, interaction metaphor. That has nothing to do with the game. Anyway, I want to step back and remind one thing. I know there's a lot of Unity developers out there. It's great to see these questions. Clearly, you're using the product. On November 29th, 2012, we will be having a Unity event in San Francisco where we will dive much deeper into all of this goodness on Windows 8. And it will be streamed live right here on Channel 9. So rock and roll on that. It'll be nice to see you guys again down there.
Yeah, that's gonna be great.
So let's... you know, do you want to talk about that at all for a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, we'll tease you all with the fact that it's going to be a two-day event.
Nice.
And the first part will be core support for beginners to advanced users.
Awesome.
Development on Unity, support mm-hmm. for Windows 8. We're going to focus first day on training mm-hmm. and knowledge sharing. Second day, we're going to do a dev jam.
Rock and roll.
We're not going to call it a game jam because there'll be plenty of prizes, but there won't necessarily be a contest.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're looking to do is encourage folks to be a part of that
mm-hmm.
who are Unity developers or not, and we'll be announcing the content and the agenda over the next week or two.
Absolutely. One thing I can tell people right now to set expectations is we're only going to be streaming one day live
okay.
on Channel 9.
That's good to know.
But, you know, like you mentioned, the second day is going to start to be hardcore writing code, geeking out, hackathon-y mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So that's different. As you said, you will
we'll work
with
you guys
more.
To get the content after that out so that people
oh, you
can
better
see what
believe
happened.
It. Yeah. I'm talking about live. What yeah. we do here and what we do at DPE and Channel 9 specifically is we are in the business of taking content event and pushing it out to the world.
Cool.
Not always live, like we're doing Build, which we've done a wonderful job of this year, so kudos to everybody out there making this real. But we'll also do it on demand, and that's where a lot of value comes because we support all platforms as far as viewing it. We have a lot of codecs we support. All right, let's step back and get back to these excellent questions from consumers, customers. Which game would each of you choose to be a benchmark of what can be reproduced for a mobile device? Specifically a game which could still run on Windows Phone 8.
You know, so we absolutely have to start with Shadowgun.
Shadowgun?
Shadowgun. So this is actually the game that we showed at the Build keynote. You know, when Tony Garcia was out there
with
my coworker Corey Johnson, another one of our fellow field engineers, and they actually showed deploying a copy of a Shadowgun level to the Windows Phone 8 device.
Great.
So the benchmark is 3D to 2D. We've got Shadowgun 3D, which has been a very popular game out in the mobile marketplace already, both tablet and phone, and we have Ski Safari on the right, which is 2D. And both of those you'll see in Windows 8 store soon, I'm sure.
And we've been showing Ski Safari at our booth at the Build conference.
But the benchmark for 3D to 2D would be those two games, I would say. Good question.
So I'm going to ask one more question, and we're going to wrap this up.
Okay.
And I really like this question because it's going to tie everything back into what we sort of maybe talked about at the beginning. I know I talked about it earlier with Jeff Hahn. So Unity has announced support for the Oculus Rift, right? Head-mounted stereoscopic 3D display. Would it be possible to plug the Rift into a mobile device running a Unity application?
Well, unfortunately, the Oculus Rift guys aren't here at the table today.
Okay.
We can't ask them directly.
Let me look inside.
But we can actually talk about this. This device supports stereoscopic 3D output to a stereoscopic 3D device. You could build stereoscopic 3D into your Unity app by using the built-in API. So I want to just yell that out there. And the guys here on the Coding for Fun team actually did, not using Unity actually, they used DirectX directly, built a game that people can play with in Building 33. That's the Coding for Fun people, Clint Rutkus, Brian yeah. Peake, Dan Fernandez, and of course Rick Barraza, the architect, designer, user experience guy. So now let me ask you this. Has anybody done that yet?
Yes, so we have a number of customers and developers who have created stereoscopic apps.
Beautiful. So
there's stuff out there in the market that is fully 3D.
And it's not only that, but it's the scalability of the stereoscopic and the ability to thread multi-displays together and really create actually your physical 3D space as well. So again, there's really not limitations to... Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, no, no. I'm just thinking about the cave support. You know, this is something that's really unfortunate that people don't have these things in their homes.
Sure.
Which are, you know, having five walls of 3D.
But it bounces back to the peripherals. See, the peripherals are helping us extend out. And they're helping you all extend out that capability inside your device.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the first version of Windows that supported stereoscopic 3D out of the box. Well, of course, it's DirectX 11.1 mm-hmm. API. But I'd love to see more developers out there take advantage of that, even if you're using Unity. So, great to meet you, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And great to talk to you guys.
We want to thank Microsoft. You guys have been great. It's
right
been
on.
A lot of fun.
And we'll see you down on 11/29. So, for all of you Unity people out there, November 29th, streaming live from beautiful San Francisco, a Unity affair.